Vicky, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Thank you, Vahi. It's lovely to be here.
Vicky, briefly about your Australian Christian Party and main values you uphold and why you are seeking a Christian vote.
Right. Well, look, we feel that the time is right, really, to be a political voice for Christian values. And those values, you know, obviously family values, but also, you know, the core freedoms, freedom of conscience, belief, speech and association. And when we look around the world and where do we see, you know, freedom, human rights, democracy and the rule of law? Well, we see clearly that it's in those nations that have a strong Judeo-Christian heritage or influence. And so we think that it's worth preserving and connecting our heritage, our freedoms, our parliamentary democracy with our Christian heritage, that these roots are very important. And so we do want to be a voice for freedom and also decent dialogue in public. We think that it's very important that we should treat other people the way we want to be treated, so to actually live the golden rule, not just quote it.
Vicky, less than 2 weeks before the elections, how is your campaign proceeding and the feedback you are getting from electors?
Well, look, in this particular election, there's a lot of very contentious issues and very personal issues, and we're getting an enormous amount of people are actually changing the way they vote. I think with the Labor Party promising, you know, within 100 days to introduce a same-sex marriage bill, that this has actually shook up a lot of conservative voters. Now, one of the things that I find quite interesting in multicultural Australia is that the Labor Party will fly the multicultural colours but seem to forget that most ethnic and faith communities, whatever background, but their faith communities are usually socially conservative, and they're just not on board with the sort of values that are being expressed by our government and our politicians. Yeah,
Vicky, what are the Australian Christian Party's policies on some of the issues of public interest? You spoke about marriage. What about health, Medicare, education and safe school program?
Well, they're all, yes. Now, well, obviously, I think it's probably unsurprising that we'd retain the current Marriage Act with marriage between a man and a woman. And we actually think this is incredibly important. This is not imposing a religious belief. This is really providing the equal opportunity for all children to have a mother and a father, and also an identity. When we just have parent one and parent two on a birth certificate, you know, we are at risk of losing our cultural, our ethnic, our biological identity. And, you know, lots of people that have suffered around the world realise how important this is. And myself, I was one of many children who was fatherless as a product of the sexual revolution. And I just think that identity is so incredibly important. And I just think it's wrong to deprive children. I think we have to remember that past Prime Minister Julia Gillard talked about the, you know, when she was talking about the children that were taken from their mothers, that, you know, this was terrible because there was this primal bond, the most important primal bond between a mother and her baby. Now, suddenly that's not important. We can give a baby to two men. Or we have Kevin Rudd that talked about the stolen generation, and he mentioned that the children who had been deeply damaged by the decisions of parliaments and governments. Now, why were they deeply damaged? Well, they were deeply damaged because they were deprived of their biological, cultural and ethnic roots. And so how we can even, you know, envisage just redoing this by, you know, obviously same-sex marriage requires the, you know, making either motherless or fatherless children. And we just find that this is something that a lot of communities are just very concerned about. And the other thing you mentioned, of course, as a result of that, it would be very difficult to address this program called Safe Schools, which we think is incredibly unsafe. It'd be incredibly difficult if this legislation is passed, Vahi, to actually address this program in the school, because you would have everything normalised. And so it would have to be taught to children in schools, which it already is, but we are trying to have that, moderated in somewhat. I'd like to see the program taken out of the school, because there are actually already many anti-bullying programs. In fact, the Safe Schools framework was a genuine anti-bullying program, whereas the Safe Schools Coalition is only talking about promoting really sexual diversity in school.
Vicky, are there specific issues you are addressing during your campaign besides the one you spoke about?
Yes, apart from marriage and safe schools, I guess a lot of them seem to be quite concerned about the whole moral situation. I attended the symposium Porn Harms Children in Sydney a while ago, and that's about the impact of pornography upon children and just how this is saturating our society. And there is research showed, and this was a secular forum, and the research has showed that there is indicates a connection between pornography and domestic violence. And domestic violence is a big problem. But when we have such really hardcore pornography that children are exposed to on all their devices, their phones, if they go in a library, they can access things at school. It's available everywhere. And the, you know, what they call the signature sex acts are very violent, degrading, demeaning. And this is not good for how, you know, apparently pornography has become the main primary educator of sexuality for our Australian young people. So look, we're very concerned about the impact of this on the minds and on attitudes towards sexuality to other people. So we would like to see ISP filtering across all devices, you know, that mandatory ISP filtering to stop pornography and adult content, you know, having children access that. And obviously civil liberties groups wouldn't like that. So we would say that adults over 18, once proof of age, could opt in. So they'd have to exercise their conscience to opt in. But at least that would be a filter that would protect all children. And I think a lot of parents are very concerned about these sorts of things. So, that's another issue for us is domestic violence. One of the other things is the family court, and we see a lot of, you know, what we would say, it's not very equitable outcomes in the family court. And we would like to sort of have an inquiry into that to make sure that it is more equitable. A lot of, you know, people commit suicide, particularly men, as a result of outcomes, and we need to really look at why this is happening and assist them as best we can. One of the things that we're very concerned about in the family court is that perjury is not a crime. And so in this highly volatile area, it's really emotive where, you know, people are fighting over children and assets. It seems incredible to me that honesty isn't a standard, that, you know, perjury is not a crime. So these are some of the things in the area of family that we're very concerned about.
Vicky, this is your second participation at a federal election. Are you more confident?
Yes, I am, Vahi, because we've never had the level of support that we have now. And I think it really is because people see that values are really important. You know, all legislation is based on some ethical or moral premise. No matter what it is, you know, you make a judgment based on certain values. And I believe that a large portion of Australians feel that their values are underrepresented, just ordinary, you know, mums and dads. Even with this issue with negative gearing that people are talking about, when we looked into it, we found that most people who are utilising negative gearing are actually just ordinary mums and dads, middle-income earners, who are really just providing a future for their children, you know. So this is going to be helpful for the future generations. This is not people getting incredibly wealthy, but actually finding a way to put money aside to help the future, to have an asset for the future. And so they're not high income earners. Most of them were under $150,000 a year. So they're considered middle income earners. And some, I think the median was $89,000 or something. So I think that we don't want to do harm to people who are actually providing for themselves rather than just relying on taxpayer money. They're actually doing something, and we should be encouraging that, not trying to deter people from that.
Vicky, how do you rate your chances after changes to the Senate rules?
Well, it's a good question, Vahi. Actually, this year with a double dissolution, it means that instead of six senators being elected in Victoria, 12 will be elected. So I would say that, you know, the chances are very, very good. Given the concern over the marriage laws changing, the concern over the curriculum content in the schools, there's a lot of concern over, you know, refugees, over the economy, the public wastage. I actually think we're going to do quite well. We don't get much coverage from mainstream media, but we are getting into lots of community forums, And the feedback we're getting is very, very positive. So I'm hopeful that we might get over the line this time.
Vicky, what is the attitude towards the Australian Christian Party from mainstream Christian churches and organisations?
Well, as I say, recently it's been a lot warmer because I think they're hearing that we want to be a reasonable voice for values. We're not trying to impose anything on the general public. It's not about imposing religious beliefs. It's about being an advocate for freedom, democracy, and I think that there's a lot of, we talk about this anti-bullying program, for example, and the evidence actually is that quite a few Christians are being sort of bullied in school because they're not on board with the program. They don't, if you don't accept the promotion of sexuality in school, then suddenly you can be labelled, homophobic and bullied, and a lot of, kids have been taken out of school, and they're more, I guess one of the consequences of these things is that children are leaving public schools to go to Christian schools, Catholic schools, and so that tells me that they're not actually comfortable anymore in a public school. Well, I think that's very, very sad. But so that has woken the church is up a bit to the fact that, we don't think it's extreme to hold the view that marriage is between a man and a woman, but that some people in the general public find that an extreme view. And I guess we have to learn to articulate that in public language. And I think the churches are sort of uniting on this issue about the preservation of marriage and family and these core values.
Vicky, are there policy differences between the Australian Christian Party, the Australian Christian Lobby and the Christian Democratic Party?
Okay, well, the Australian Christian Lobby is not a political party. They're a lobby group. So they are working outside Parliament to educate politicians and the general public, whereas a political party like ourselves, I would say in, most instances we would probably support everything that the Australian Christian Lobby are advocating for. We may express things differently, but we would support in principle, I think, everything that they're standing for. But they're a lobby group. We're a political party. You won't be electing the ACL. You'll be electing either Australian Christians or it could be CDP or, Family First or whoever. So DLP is a Catholic, it doesn't advocate itself, present itself as a Christian group, but they have a strong Catholic base and we share a lot of the same values and beliefs, I guess, with the DLP. We have a lot in common with them and they're a minor party also.
Vicky, Armenians are very concerned about the fate of Armenian and other Christian minorities in Middle East and also minorities like the Yazidis. How would you address the persecution of Christian minorities in Middle East?
Look, this is an awful situation, and we have been trying to be a voice for persecuted Christians in the Middle East and elsewhere as well. Pakistan, it's pretty terrible in Pakistan. So we're continually being a voice for them. I was actually one of the main speakers at the recent protest outside Parliament in Victoria for the Assyrian community who not only were attacked by ISIS and disarmed by the Kurdish Peshmerga, they've also now had their lands grabbed, and so they're in a pretty bad way. So we were standing with them to protest, and so we do our best. We don't get a lot of coverage. I think the thing with being an elected politician is that there would be a lot more coverage. You would have a stronger voice. And I just think that a lot of people are not educated about who the indigenous people of a lot of these nations are. They say a lot about indigenous people, but they don't understand that, in a lot of Middle Eastern nations, really the Christians were the indigenous people. And they've been wiped out in Iraq and Syria. We need to respond to a humanitarian crisis in a humanitarian way, and we would like to assist people. We've actually, our policy includes a homestay transition program for refugees. We do need to be careful to make sure that people have gone through health, identity and security checks, because we do have that dual responsibility onshore to make a safe, keep Australia as a safe place, a place of refuge. But I think we need to do that quickly and get people the help that they need, the support that they need. And so we think the best way forward would really be to transition people into Australian life in a homestay program in much the same way that international students will often come and stay in homes and get assisted by families. I think it's a good thing if we can help refugees in that way and give them a softer introduction to Australia. So we would increase that humanitarian intake and have special assistance visas for special needs. It could be for Christians suffering under the blasphemy law in Pakistan. It could be for Syrians, for anyone that's in need and is persecuted. So, yeah, and we do recognise that Christians are probably the most persecuted people around the world at this time.
Vicky, how can listeners get in touch with you and get more information about how to vote for you and more information about the Australian Christian Party?
Great. Well, look, there's several ways you can do that, Vahi. I actually have a 60-minute video blog that you can receive on your phone, a link to, if you'd like to do that. You just have to SMS the word Vicky, V-I-C-K-I-E. So SMS the word Vicky to 0429 111 222. 0429 111 222. Now, that's not my phone number, by the way, but you will get a link with a 60-second message introducing the party, and also that's a link to my blog. And on that blog, there's quite a bit of information about the issues we've talked about as well, including marriage and safe schools. The Australian Christians website is just australianchristians.com.au, and all our policies are on there, including our How to Vote cards. And we think it's rather provident that on the Senate ticket, the long white ballot paper, on the Senate ticket, if you vote H for hope, we're box H. So I hope that you might consider voting in box H, and please do vote 1 to 6. It's important with these Senate reforms that we don't just vote one and nothing else, because we don't want any votes to expire. We have got a good chance, but I think it's important that you do vote 1 to 6. I'd start from the left and start looking along, and we're actually box H, and we've got a cross above our logo this time so people can identify us.
Vicky, thank you for your time and the interview.
Thank you very much, Vahi. Great to be.
And wish you best of the luck.
Thank you very much.